Hi, and welcome back to Central Point Podcast with me, Shireen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for returning. We're in a new month, which means we have a new sort of focus area, but we have the same Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm particularly excited about this month just because as I was preparing for this episode, it was revealed to me sort of what season I'm in. And I was just sort of like, that makes sense. Because right now I am incredibly peace-filled when a version of me, let's just say last year, if they were in the same situation, would not have been. Just 2 years ago, most definitely would not have been. I am very much walking by faith because I have no clue. And that is just me being so incredibly honest. And as you can tell by the title of this episode, Peace I Leave With You, this month is going to focus on the fantastic spiritual fruit of peace. I don't know why, but I feel like this set of episodes, it's going to be 5 episodes this month, is going to be particularly healing for me, as I already felt like a balm of Gilead come over me as I was writing this episode alone. So I'm particularly excited to go through this month, and I pray that you do receive what it is Holy Spirit wants you to receive, what it is that is necessary for the season that you are in, and that again you are anchored to Jesus as we look at him. And we're going to just read a lot of his words because this is what Central Point's all about: positioning you as child of God and centering in on Christ always. And with this episode, we're going to be in John quite a bit, but I'm going to start in Luke 1, sort of get a, you know me, like I want to paint a picture first and then we'll go through, and hopefully it sets you up really nicely for the rest of this month. So Luke 1, I want to look at Zacharias. Zacharias is John the Baptist's father, and he was made mute when he got told, you know, your wife's gonna bear a son, and he kind of couldn't believe it, so he was made mute. It's not until Elizabeth gave birth and they asked, what's the name of the child? And they went to call him after his father, but Elizabeth said, no, his name's John. And they looked to the father and go, hey, nobody in your lineage is called John. Do you want to let your wife know, let us know what the name of this boy is? And he wrote, John. And it says in the Bible, they marveled. Like, oh my gosh, John. I don't know why it's such a big deal. But we did talk about names in episode 2. So, you know, it probably was a huge deal. And when he had declared via writing, his name is John, his mouth was opened. And again, everyone shocked because he's been mute for the past 9 months, minimum. And he prophesies. Although he is prophesying over his son, John, and for those who are not familiar with the Bible or are new to the text, John the Baptist is a great man of God who baptized Jesus. He did other things as well, but like the awesome thing is that he baptized Jesus, you know, like, you know, only one man has the testimony, has that thing where they go, oh, you know that guy? Yeah, he baptized Jesus. I mean, you know, I love baptism. I think, was it the last episode or the episode before that? I don't remember. Where I talk about how like watching baptisms is like primetime TV for me. Baptizing Jesus? Okay, I'm on a tangent. I've gone off on a tangent. I'm going to come back to what I want to read. But that's the guy. His father prophesies, and this is from verse 67, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version. I'm actually reading from the Amplified Version a lot in this episode. It's on peace, but we're getting loud with it, right? We're just turning up the volume with these scriptures, and we're reading the Amplified Version. So verse 67, now Zacharias, his father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by him, and he prophesied, saying, I'm skipping to verse 76. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. He's talking about John. For you will go on before the Lord, the Messiah, to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise, isn't that a beautiful way of communicating the Messiah? With which the sunrise, the Messiah from on high, will dawn and visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in a straight line into the way of peace and serenity. So the closing of that prophecy is him talking about Messiah, reading that again, with which the sunrise, the Messiah from on high, will dawn and visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in a straight line into the way of peace and serenity. Ah, just that sounds lovely, doesn't it? Peace and serenity. And we're going to look at Jesus now. We're going to look at the accounts of Jesus and what Jesus says about that. Thank you, Zacharias. Thank you for that prophesying. And imagine, like, you're just, your mouth gets open talking about your own child, about how they're going to prepare the way for the Messiah. Dope. You can see when I read the scriptures, I really get involved in those characters, you know, those humans that went before us. And I'm like, wow. Imagine hearing yourself, you know, speak these magnificent words in real time, like, out of your mouth. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay, so let's turn to our first scripture, which we all know and which we hear a lot of. And I say this every episode because it is. And if again, if you're new to Christianity, this is something you'll hear a lot. It's something that we bring up. It's something that we remind each other of. But I want to go deeper with it because I want it to actually resonate. I don't want it to be an automation scripture that we say from our mouths, right? But it be a living experience for us. So when it does come out of our mouths, it just comes from a wellspring of absolute knowing that he is. It comes from a wellspring of testimony, and not just the scripture says it, I'm going to repeat the scripture because it has the word that I need in there. Nope. Child of God, child of promise, these words will be living in you, and they will come out of your mouth just seasoned with testimony, seasoned with knowing, seasoned with the joy in the Lord. So John 14 verse 27 in the Amplified Version, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I want to read that addition again. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. Now, these verses come after Jesus has shared the role of the Spirit and how he's going to send the Helper. In the Amplified Version, it's got in the brackets, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit. Jesus shares that the Father will send this Holy Spirit in his name. And then he continues talking about the peace that he will give to us, that he will leave with us. Because following this verse, he says he's got to go. And we know that was for Jesus, that was up, that was gone, that was no longer tangibly being able to be embraced. I can only imagine, because obviously I've never experienced Jesus in the physical, where I've, you know, had an embrace and then I no longer have the physical embrace, but I've had plenty of would you call it spiritual embraces? Like I read the word and I'm like, oh, that just felt like a really big hug, or I'm praying with someone else and, you know, we're just in that space and it's like, oh my gosh, that just felt like a really big hug, you know? Is that just me? Let me know in the comments if you also receive really great hugs from reading the Word of God or being in prayer. Let me know that I'm not alone in this and we're all just out here receiving hugs. But how beautiful is this peace that is described here? Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Beloved, how many times have you been troubled? How many times have you experienced fear of the unknown, where you potentially have to make a risky move, hand in your resignation, and you don't have a job lined up, but you feel in your spirit that's the move that God wants you to make. You pack up and you leave town and you go to the place where God has called you to, but you know nobody. How many times have you had your heart sink? Have you felt yourself pull inwardly and away because you have felt troubled? Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Don't allow it. And you're like, well, I mean, it's not like I trigger fear and I'm like, oh, yes, confidently email over my resignation. And then it's like, whoa, what is that feeling that just entered in at the same time that I didn't know I was going to enter in? Ooh, there's an uneasiness just entered in, but I didn't invite it in, but it came up. It sprang up. It sprang up. And now I am aware that maybe I'm a little freaked out by the unknown, right? These things happen. And as I was reading this verse and as I was spending time with the Lord, Philippians 4:7 came to me. And then when I was really just honed in on that scripture, another scripture popped into my head. We're going to go through the, you know me, we're going to go through the scriptures. And as always, guys, I found myself delighting and really, really grateful for the peace of God. So let's read Philippians 4:7. And this is in the ESV version. And then I'm going to read it again in the Amplified version. So ESV reads, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amplified version reads, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Is yours. Beloved, I need you to catch it. I need you to catch it. I need you to receive it. I need you to take it in. Okay, the ball's being passed. Get ready. Guess what? You can't miss. Guess what? You can't not catch it. Guess what? There's no such thing as butterfingers here. I'm gonna throw it. You're gonna catch it, okay? And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Hallelujah. 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 I wanted to go to the verse, the next verse this triggered, but let me break down Philippians 4:7. This is what happened when I read that. I was like, let me look up some words in the Strong's Concordance, the Greek Strong's Concordance. Let's just break this down for a little bit. The word God, where it says, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word God, in the Greek Strong's Concordance, it says, to be a watcher in advance. That is, to mount guard as a sentinel. So a soldier whose job is to stand and keep watch. Figuratively, to hem in, protect, keep with a garrison. And a garrison's like armed forces, troops stationed in a fortress or a town to defend it. Doesn't that just sound like manpower? Doesn't that just sound that these guards are stationed in this fortress? You are the temple of the living God, beloved. Hallelujah. We're talking about protection here, a watcher, a sentinel on guard. Like, those guards outside Buckingham Palace, I'm not really sure what they do. But think about the peace of God, this like stallion horse and this like way better guard, this sentinel by your heart and your mind. Just protecting, keeping. That's what the peace of God will do. It doesn't say might do, beloved. It says will. It will. The peace of God will do it. Catch it? The peace of God will do it. And just so we don't get it twisted, it says it surpasses all understanding. Amplified version says transcends. What a word. Transcends all understanding. So if we're just going to like mix it up, you just put it in some words, the peace of God, which is superior than all intellect, will protect your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that peace that is superior to all intellect is yours. I need you to rejoice. I need you to rejoice. You might be in a position where you're like, I really don't feel that peaceful, actually. My life is pretty turbulent, actually. I don't know what it is to step into the peace of God. I know I've heard that verse before, that the peace I leave you, not as the world gives you, but I give you. And I keep asking him for his peace. And I just keep asking him for his peace. Why don't I feel peace-filled? Why am I not okay? The Bible says so, so why don't I have? It all comes back to believing correctly, seeing rightly, beloved. Remember at the start of this episode, I said, the circumstance I am currently in, the version of me last year and the version of me 2 years ago, would not have this peace. I have this peace in my current situation, because I am now fully convinced of my Father's heart towards me, the gospel, and what Jesus has done and achieved for me, and my position, my identity as a whole daughter of the living God. I did not convince myself to have the peace that I have over my current situation. I'm telling you, beloved, this current situation without the peace of God will make you go stir crazy. Will make you go stir crazy. I did not convince myself to have this peace. I just have it. And then I was like, wow, wait a minute. 1 second. What's going on? Why am I okay? I am so okay. And when I share like certain parts of my current situation with individuals, they like have a look on their face and they say, so what's the plan? So what are you doing? They have the questions. And I'm like, I'm doing what the Lord has put on my heart to do right now. And that's about it. Because nothing else is working. And they're like, you know, you've got the slow nod. You've got the slight furrow in the eyebrow because not really getting it. And then you've got the others that are like, hallelujah, God is able. You know, the ones that, you know, also have the peace of God. The ones that also are functioning from that place. So they can stay with you and go, well, I look forward to seeing what God's going to do, right? I look forward to his perfect plan for your life at this time. But my point is, I didn't go to the scriptures and read them and say, well, you know, it says it, so it must come to pass. What happened was the scriptures were triggered by just how I was in the Lord. I am remembering the scriptures. I'm saying, truly, Lord, your peace surpasses all understanding, because my current state of mindset Makes no sense. It makes no sense. And by the world's standards, I should not be okay. And that sounds really dramatic, but I'm talking about the version of me before. Like, so we all have our things that make us go crazy or make us just go into a frenzy or have us feel out of control, whatever that is for you. Input your personal things. And this particular thing has been a problem for years, actually, for me. Like, if it would get to a certain point for me, then I would start going a little nuts. Going a little nuts and be like, do you see me? Coming at God, like, hey, excuse you, wake up. Which has not been, just not been the case at all. And that makes me smile, like, my cheeks hurt just even admitting that and speaking on that. Because truly, beloved, I don't think I truly appreciated the peace of God as much as I do now that I am believing correctly and seeing correctly and understanding the gift of it and living it out in real time as I can logically decipher a situation and then check in with myself and go, but I really am okay though. It's amazing. It's amazing. And the verse that Philippians 4:7 like triggered in my head, and I was like, oh my gosh, Philippians 4:7 is the answer to this verse. And the verse is Proverbs 4:23. And it's another one that we say all the time because we tell each other to do it because as a warning, make sure you do this because XYZ. Proverbs 4:23, I'm going to read it from the Amplified version and the NIV actually, just so we see what the second part of that verse is. So Amplified version, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Beloved, do you hear or see, whichever platform you are listening or watching through right now, do you see how Philippians 4:7 is the answer to Proverbs 4:23? It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amplified edition is yours. So this watching over your heart, beloved, which is imperative because everything you do flows from it, comes from the peace of God. Anyone comforted? I cannot tell you how comforted I was writing this out, having this revelation, going, truly, Lord, truly, honest to goodness, everything is just you. Everything is just you. Because even with how I am right now and the peace that I have, the way I'm walking in my day to day, the way I'm talking to people, the way I have time for people, I can't explain it, beloved. But everything truly flows from here. It does. It really, really does. When your heart is kept with a garrison, which is the peace of God. Because understand, if you have given your life to Him, if you have, and you know when you've actually given your life, you know when you've actually surrendered something over, you know when you've actually let go, or when you've got like a firm hold of something, or where you're still trying to control something, or where you haven't really surrendered a certain part of something, right? You know. So I'm talking about those things you absolutely are certain you've given to the Lord. And then you find yourself in a situation because of it or whatever. You're just trusting God on this. Because if He can speak so loudly or so clearly on something else or a certain area that you've walked in and you've done for Him, or you've walked in obedience over, right, and you've prayed over a certain situation and God has led and it looks pretty I don't know why we say pear-shaped, like pears are a bad shape or something, or like pears aren't good. I like pears. But since it is the saying, pear-shaped, when it's looking a little pear-shaped, you've got to just be still and know that he is God. And that you don't see what he sees. And you don't know what he knows, because, beloved, our God is in the unknown. For he sees and knows everything. And so you trust that he will open up his mouth and have you go to the left or go to the right if you are straying off the path of what you have submitted to him. The peace of God. And Jesus says he leaves that. You know why he leaves that? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Because he has accomplished something fantastical for us. Because we have this testimony in Jesus. We have this testimony in Jesus. The testimony of what Jesus has done. And then we have it manifest in our lives and we walk it out in the earth. Let's go to another John verse, because John is where it's at when it comes to Jesus. You want to fall in love with Jesus? Just read John. John 16:33, Amplified Version. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy, beloved. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory, catch the word, abiding. My victory, abiding. I'm really enjoying Amplified Version. I'm really enjoying just the additional turning up the volume and emphasis in these verses. In the world you have, okay, you do. You have tribulation, okay, and distress, okay, and suffering, okay, we don't like it, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. We know that the fullness of joy is in the presence of God. You are the temple of the living God. Get into your joy, beloved. He is with you. He is in you. It's just delightful truth. It's just delightful truth. Jesus says, I have overcome that world which will give you these things. I have overcome that world, yes, that will show these things. I have overcome, yes, the world which has these things within it. I have overcome. My conquest is accomplished. My victory abiding. This is all before he goes. And then he goes to the cross. He fulfills the command that his father has given him. He is in the grave. And then he rises. And I'm going to go to John 20. And I want to read the two accounts, the two of the three accounts where he appeared to the disciples. And I want to look at what he says, how he greets the disciples whom he's told, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Who he's told, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. This is how he greets his disciples post tragic event for them, post worst thing that could ever happen to them, post grief, you know, like, they are not okay. Let's just be like clear, beloved. The disciples are not okay. They are not okay. They are going through it. And they're fearful, in fact. They are fearful. And he says, do not let your heart be troubled. nor let it be afraid. But here we are, John 20, reading from verse 19. I'm reading from the ESV version, and it reads, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Remember, he said, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And we covered this in a previous episode. Are you not sent, beloved? Hallelujah, come on. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now remember that in John 14, verse 27, where we read, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you, the verses before speaks of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus has breathed on them the Holy Spirit in verse 22 of John 20. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now if we read John 14 from verse 25, and this is the Amplified version, I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. Imagine. I don't know about you. Are you one of those people that go to church with a notebook and you write down what the pastor or the speaker have said and you're like, oh, that's some good stuff. I'm going to put that down for later. I'm going to munch on that for later. Jesus here is saying he will teach you all things and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. Beloved, we are supernaturally, wonderfully set up. We are supernaturally, wonderfully set up. The peace of God is what guards our heart, and from it flows everything in life. Jesus is there and he has spoken and he has given us the scripture. It is Holy Spirit that brings it back to our remembrance. It's not down to our photographic memory. You know, those people that can just like read the Bible without even looking at it because they've like locked it in. We don't have to have that to be able to remember what the Lord has said or done. This is why when we're going about our business, scriptures will come to mind. You're like, oh, this scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's not because I'm super awesome at remembering, but you know, we should be intentional. We should be intentional about remembering, right? But we also know that we have Holy Spirit who will bring back to our remembrance. Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. You've got to put it in first to remember. Okay? It has to go in first. You've got to know it first to remember. You can't remember something you never knew. That's not how it works. So let's be reading at least once. Can we do that? You know, let us behold the Jesus. Let us look at his accounts. Let's hear his words and allow Holy Spirit to encourage us, comfort us, just, oh my gosh, edify us, by bringing it back to our remembrance and just having our minds focused, our hearts anchored on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. But I thought this was a very beautiful thing, that Jesus, post-resurrection, greets with peace be with you. I just thought it was just lovely. It made me smile. It's like, I will do this. And I know that my appearing will cause maybe some fear, right? Peace be with you. I'm not a spirit later on in the chapter, he's like, give me some food. You know, like they're looking at him. He's like, you know what? Let me prove that I am. I have a body. Food, please. And he has broiled fish, I think it is. This is our Lord. This is our Savior. This is, oh my gosh, beloved. This is the character that dwells. The Spirit of Jesus dwells in us. As I was going through this, I always try to have like an Old Testament example. Since we know that God is the same, right? He doesn't change, right? There isn't like God of the Old Testament and God of the New Testament. It is just God. Good God. Father, right? I want to look at the Old Testament. I want to look at Judges. Because I see what Gideon declared and what he set up an altar for. And I'm like, this is just wonderful. This is just wonderful stuff. I want to read from Judges 6, verse 22 to 23. But the like background to this moment, this declaration from Gideon, is that the angel of the Lord has come to him and has said things to him. And Gideon says, if I have found any favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. And he's told to set up some meat and some bread and to put it on a rock and pour out the broth. And the angel takes his staff and touches the offering that Gideon has prepared, and fire flares up from the rock. And so that's what's happened just before this moment. And it reads in verse 22, when Gideon realized without any doubt that he was the angel of the Lord, he declared, oh no, Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face and I am doomed. You know, when you just realize, oh no, no, no. You see a lot in the Old Testament. It's like, I've seen God. I am going to die. So they got it. It's like, oh no, no, no. Death is upon me. There's no way I can become face to face and still be living, right? I am doomed. Verse 23, and the Lord said to him, peace to you. Do not be afraid. You shall not die. When you go from 0 to 100, back to 0 again. Oh, okay. Good, because that also wouldn't make sense as to how I'm sent if I'm gonna die. You know what I mean? Like, we forget what the Lord said in the moment that fear comes in and realization comes in. It's like, I am doomed. But then if you would think back to what the Lord had said to you through the angel just moments ago, that he is with you and that he's sending you to do something, it's like, well, how can I be doomed if I've got something to do? You know? We're so human. We're so human. We like really forget what the Lord says. Like we forget some things when certain things happen. And it's like, no, that doesn't make sense because God said before this. Makes sense. Verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. Peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the, I'm going to butcher this word, Abizrites. Don't come for me. If you know what it is, then you can say it correctly. But how wonderful that Gideon, after this encounter, builds an altar there to the Lord and names it the Lord is peace. And that word for peace is shalom. Now in the King James Version it says, and called it Yehovah Shalom. Yehovah Shalom. How beautiful. And when we look at the word shalom, shalom is the word used for peace in the Old Testament. You have Shabbat Shalom. I don't think we do it justice really how we translate it, because even when you look at it in the Strong's Concordance, the first word is safe, and I can see how peace and safety go together. When you feel safe, There's not an ounce of worry in you. You're not thinking about anything. Case in point, if I go to bed at night in my room that I know is completely safe, I have like no issues, there's no worries, I'm not in a war-torn country, I'm not worried about anything happening at all. Like, I am just A-okay. As long as I'm not thinking about something else, right? The place that I'm in, the physical space, there is peace because I am safe. And the Lord is peace. This is just coming to me as I'm talking in real time, because this is not even in my notes. But to think as the Lord is safe. Gosh, I don't know. I don't know why that's just, that is so potent to me right now in this moment as I say that out loud. The Lord is safe. Goodness, you know what comes to me when I say that the Lord is safe? The verse that says, perfect love casteth out fear. That verse comes to my head when I think about that. Let me read it. So that's 1 John 4:18, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. The Lord is peace. The Lord is safe. The Lord has saved us. That is the Lord that has saved us in Jesus. That is our God. Gosh, I'm so comforted by that little real moment of like inputting that word there. Because a part of me feels like that's very healing for somebody who has had not the best experiences with love or trust or other human beings, where they were placed in situations where they did not feel safe when they should have. And to hear that the Lord is safe, meaning that God is love, as we touched on last month, that He is this wonderful, He actually is, the settling in of that truth. No wonder the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. No wonder everything flows from our heart. The springs of life flow from it. When you feel safe in your God, come on, how are you living in the earth? What is your countenance? What is your mind? Is it not still? What is your heart? Is it not steady? Oh my gosh, I am actually flabbergasted right now. I have no words because this is really just washing over me. I'm just seeing a really good dad. I'm just seeing a really good dad carry their child, and the child just is fine. They're not even paying attention of like their surroundings, because they know they're in the arms of their dad, and so they're completely relaxed. They're probably even taking a nap because they feel that safe and they feel that good, and they know wherever they're going with their father, they'll make it, they'll arrive, and they'll find out when they get there. This is what I am getting. This is what I'm picturing. This is where I'm at right now as this has unfolded in real time. Goodness, who knew the peace of God was going to lead here? Not me. Not me, beloved. I'm going to be real honest. This is great. I am personally delighted. Thank you for joining and just listening in on Shireen delighting in her father, in our Abba right now. How wonderful. Another part of the Old Testament that peace was just sort of what would I say, a deciding factor, which I thought was very, very interesting. And it also includes the heart. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 16 to 18 again from the Amplified Version. Then some of the men of Benjamin and Judah came to the stronghold to David. David went out to meet them and said to them, "If you have come peacefully to me to help me, my heart shall be united with you. But if you have come to betray me to my adversary, since there is no violence or wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look on you, what you are doing, and punish you." Then the Holy Spirit came on Amasai, who was the chief of the 30, and he said, "We are yours, O David, and with you, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace be to you, and peace be to him who helps you, for your God helps you." Then David accepted and received them and made them officers of his troops. I read that and I was just like, this just really just ties in nicely with the other scriptures that we have read. The repetition of peace, the fact that David uses that as a deciding thing. If you've come peacefully, he said that his heart shall be united with them. We're supposed to guard our heart, as we keep hearing Christian circles, guard your heart with all diligence, right? We've discovered in this episode that it is the peace of God that guards the heart. Hallelujah, right? David's here like, have you come peacefully? Have you come with shalom? Because it's the same word. Have you come in shalom? If so, my heart will be united with you. And it says in verse 18, then the Holy Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit, beloved. It doesn't say, and the dude said, yeah, we come in peace. We've come to support you. No, it says then the Holy Spirit came on Amasai, who was chief of the 30. And he said, because the Holy Spirit came on him, peace be to you, and peace be to him who helps you. The Lord is peace, as Gideon said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Piggybanking off last month's focus, which is love, delightful month, let's read Colossians 3, verses 14 and 15, again in the Amplified Version. And it reads, beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Didn't we just read in 1 Chronicles 12? David was like, if you come with shalom, my heart shall be united with you. Back to Colossians 3, verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your heart, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God always, always, beloved, always. How can we not be thankful when we realize our absolute reality? I am moving so much in this episode. Oh my gosh, my arms are going all over the place. But I just, what? I am so delighted by our Father right now. I really am. I really am. I'm really delighted. Our God, our Abba, the one that is described by Gideon as Yehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And if we go back to Philippians 4, not back to verse 7, but we go down to verse 9, he is described as the God of peace. The Amplified Version says at the end of verse 9, and the God who is the source of peace. This is where we've started. We are, oh my gosh. I hope you're ready, beloved. I hope you are ready for the following episodes this month as we continue in that which guards our hearts and minds, as we take hold and purpose to pursue peace. And I think that's a bit of a teaser for the next episode. So come back. By God's grace, I will see you next week for that one. Let us pray. Father God, Abba, peaceful Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much just for being you. Thank you so much for being you. Thank you so much for all that you provide. Honestly, dear Lord, as we take our time with the scriptures, as we sit with the reality of who you are, your heart, your character, dear Lord, your word is full of treasure, full of gems and jewels, which allow us to truly know what it is our life is, to be hid in Christ and to be reconciled back to a Father who is just this good. Father God, I pray for everyone listening at this time, everyone watching at this time, dear Lord. I pray that their hearts are open to believe you and open to receive this peace. I pray whatever circumstance this episode finds you in, that this episode allowed you to take a glimpse of your Father, of your Abba. That this isn't something we need to convince ourselves of, but is. That we just trust you, dear Lord. We trust you in all circumstance. We trust that if we have brought it to the throne of mercy, of grace, the same throne that you tell us to boldly come before, you tell us to boldly come before because you have made the way for us to do so. Father God, thank you for telling us to not be timid when we come to you, because you are the one that made the way for us to be able to be here before you to ask to lay our burdens down at your altar. Father God, our Father who is our peace, our shalom, please, Father God, have your way. Have your way in our hearts, in our minds, dear Lord. Be with each person as they go through their week, Father God. If they are hearing this at the beginning, in the middle, or the end of, dear Lord. Walk beside, walk closely. I pray each person just, oh my gosh, that they have an encounter with you, that they are able to be still enough to recognize your perfect hand in what they are currently going through and walking in, that they have moments of joy, unexpected joy, just because of who you are, Father God. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for Holy Spirit. Thank you so much that you love us this much, that you would call us children, that you would allow us the privilege, Father God. We are beyond grateful for your magnificent gifts. And we look forward, dear Lord, to continuing to bask in, take hold of this gift and this spiritual fruit that is peace. Thank you so much for abiding. Thank you so much for calling. And thank you so much once again for being who you are. I speak peace to everyone listening. And I thank you for the testimony that will come from their lips, from taking hold of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for tuning in today, basking, delighting, putting up with my lack of words as I'm presently shocked by what I'm receiving. What an unexpected episode, honestly, what an unexpected episode. But once again, I will see you next week by God's grace, and we will continue on this train. And who knows, I have a plan for this next episode, but Holy Spirit will do what Holy Spirit does. I will see you then. God bless.